Okay, welcome everybody. I hope everyone is okay, and everyone had a nice yontif. So before I share the daf makorot with you, I would just mention that I'm going to probably share this week. The shiur will be a little bit shorter, just because the way mincha and ma'ariv work out, I have to run to shul for mincha. So instead of being 50 minutes, it'll be closer to 40 minutes. But I'd like to welcome everybody, and I would like to. I'm giving the shiur this week on a topic that deals with a specific question. And really, the question I think was much more relevant when I was a teenager, and I just happened to come across it today. However, the psak, the answer, has ramifications for every one of us, I think, today also. And let me just share the page with you, and I'll explain to you the story behind the Shaila. So when I was a teenager, I remember at that time the digital watches had come out, and the digital watches all had had some kind of light, as you remember. And you know, you would press a button and you'd be able to go ahead and be able to see the time. And at that time, many people wore those watches on Shabbat. They obviously didn't press the button. I remember asking my father if it was mutter or not mutter to wear the watch on Shabbos. He says, there's a light on the watch. And he said, you shouldn't wear the watch on Shabbos. Okay. I would just mention that there was definitely, I remember at least in Chicago, many people wore the watch on Shabbat. And I put it to the side. My father said, you shouldn't do it. So I didn't wear a watch on Shabbos anyways, because I didn't even watch in the street, so it didn't make a difference to me, but I still remember that. And I just came across this Shaila today. Now, today, obviously, the Shaila is much different because today people walk around with smartwatches, and smartwatches is definitely a problem, according to everybody on Shabbos. I'm not saying necessarily there might be reasons someone might get upset that for them it might be allowed. I'm not sure of the technology of a smartwatch, but I'm talking about a specific Shaila. And the question that comes up, because we're afraid that someone might push the button on Shabbos and cause the light to go on. And the question is, can we say that you're not allowed to wear a watch on Shabbos because you're afraid that you might go ahead and you might push the button on Shabbos and turn the light on? Or we're saying, listen, that's a gzeira, all right? In other words, wearing the watch, midiraisa, is definitely mutter. What should be the issur? The issur is we're afraid you might come to push the button and turn the light on. So turning the light on would be a gzeira, and we can't make gzeira. To give an example, is riding a bike mutter or usur on Shabbat? So in general, I would say almost everyone accepts the fact that riding a bicycle on Shabbat is usur. However, there is a machlokus. Most people feel the reason why it's usur to ride a bike on Shabbat is because it's unta dechol. It's a weekday activity. And we know weekday activity is forbidden on Shabbos. When we deal with something called unta dechol, I would say the qualifications are much wider. And, you know, sometimes there are reasons, you know, someone wants to ride, you want to let a child ride a bicycle on the porch or in the yard, you could say on Shabbat that would be mutter because he's riding on the yard. But Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach was supposed to have said that it's also to ride a bicycle on Shabbos because you might go ahead, you might come to fix the bicycle if it breaks. And therefore, it would since Chazal would have made that issur, we also are not allowed to go ahead and to ride a bike on Shabbat. Many people point out that that's a very nice idea, but we know today we don't make gzeirot. In other words, we as this generation, we have to ask what the Torah say is usur, what did Chazal say is usur, and it's not in our, and obviously anything that Chazal said is usur, but it's not in our place to make gzeirot, and therefore they held riding a bike on Shabbat is not allowed because of the whole weekday activity, but not because you might come to fix it. What I'd like to first start off with is to discuss that sugya a little bit in terms of that we're not allowed to make gzeirot today. So if you look at source number one, and I'm not going to read it inside, but I'll paraphrase it. This is source number one comes from Rav Ash. And Rav Ash is discussing a shaila that it seems that in a certain town, they had a custom that if they were going to go ahead and they were going to buy land, so every Shabbat for 4 weeks in a row, they would go ahead and they would announce in shul that someone's going to buy this land. And if anyone feels from this person, if anyone feels the land belongs to them, they have a certain, I would say a complaint. They say the land belongs to them, they should come and complain. And if after four Shabbatot, no one complains, the land would be sold. And obviously the reason why I did it on Shabbat was because in those days, the only time you got the whole team together was in Shabbat. And they said that this comes from the Ra'ah, one of the Rishonim, and they were asking if it's really permitted. So the Rav Ash had a very, very difficult time with this idea because he said, what you're basically saying is that every Shabbat you have an opportunity to come and to register a complaint. And if by the fourth Shabbat the person doesn't complain, that means the sale is final. So you're really finalizing the deal on Shabbat. We know that's usur. And the Rav Ash said the Rav must have meant something different. He must have said it's an opportunity for someone to come ahead and complain. And the Rav never meant to say that the sale would be, if no one complained, the sale would register in the Aurora, the sale would be completed on Shabbat. It just meant to say you have four Shabbat to come, and then obviously the final decision will come during the week. And he says he doesn't like that either, but if the Rav said it, you know, who is he to argue on the Rav? Why don't we show him? And but he said, we should not change that psak. And therefore, he said, to go ahead and say the sale will become final on Shabbat is definitely usur. Okay, that is the mitziut hadvarim. But what really, when he goes on, he says that he points out that why is that, why would that be permitted to even do that? Obviously, you're still talking about divrei chol on Shabbat, if anyone has a complaint. So he quotes that sometimes because of tzorchei rabim, so divrei chol is mutter. In other words, if there's a need that the rabbin has, you're allowed to, even though it smells on some level, it's related on some level, it is a divrei chol, so you're allowed to talk about it on Shabbos. To go ahead and finalize a sale on Shabbat, of course, is usur. That's business. But to talk about a divrei chol on Shabbos, the tzorchei rabbin, a need of the rabbin, would definitely be allowed on Shabbat. That's what he says. So, and he says, what is a tzorchei rabim? So he says, a tzorchei rabim is not necessarily something that in specific detail is something after the rabim. But what he's saying is that even if we're talking about an individual's needs, but it's something that has to be taken care of, it doesn't, it affects the rabim, so then that's called a tzorchei rabim. So, you know, the example he gives, let's say, for example, on Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to deal with certain tzorchei rabim. He gives an example. You're allowed to write on Chol HaMoed a get, a divorce, or you're allowed to write on Chol HaMoed receipts. And even though each individual get or receipt or anything similar is really for the yachid, but in order to enable the system to run, that's a tzorchei rabim. So anything which enables system runs a tzorchei rabim. So he said, yes, according to the Ra, it would be allowed to go ahead and make this announcement on Shabbos as long as the deal is not finalized, as long as the deal is not finalized on Shabbat. That's what he says. So if you go ahead and, you know, and I will try actually right now, just for everyone's benefit, to highlight the part I want to talk about. So he says, if you look over here, he says like this. But Vyesh, he says, something which always happens, Vyesh ben tikkun amadina, and it really helps the country run. Even though for each time it happens, it's really for one specific person and two people, it's still called the tzorchei rabim because this helps the country or the medina or the city or the organization run. So the question is, why can't you have a judgment on Shabbos? Because that's where afraid of Erezera Shema Yichtov, you might go ahead and you might write something. Okay, so then he says like this. So maybe the Ra's suggestion of making an announcement on Shabbat, if anyone has a complaint, you shouldn't do either because someone might come and you might write it down. He says, so here he goes and he says, no. Why? Because when it comes to making Zerot,
and this comes from Iran also, Lefisha Ein Lanu Ela Mashmanu Chachamim. When it comes to making gzerot, we only include what the Chachamim counted. The Lo Lechadish Gzeres Me'atzmeinu. And we're not allowed to go ahead and make new gzerot. So in other words, he says, and it's usur to have a judgment. But to talk about the chol, sometimes it's mutter for tzorchei rabim. He says, I don't think it's a great idea, but the ro is matarit. But to go ahead and say that it's usur because you might come to write that, you can't do, because we don't go ahead and we don't make gzerot. We don't make gzerot. So that's the So therefore, when we want to go ahead, we want to say, well, you can't do this because you might come to do this. If Chazal did not say that, we can't say it's usur. Okay, so that to making new gzerot is definitely not in our purview to do today. However, it's fascinating because the Rambam also discusses this. If you look at source number two, the Rambam in his Hakdamah Mishnah Torah discusses the various halachos and the various categories that are discussed in Shas. And he says that the chelak haravi, the fourth chelak, he says, heim hadinim shakavu neviim v'chachamim shevakol dar v'dor al derach hageder v'shyag l'torah. The fourth category are those things, those halachos that the neviim, the prophets, the chachamim, enacted in order to make a fence on the Torah to stop us doing something wrong. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ushmartish Mishmarti, you have to watch my Mishmarish, be very careful to make sure you don't do something wrong. And what does it mean? Assume Mishmarish Mishmarti. So what's important to me, you should make a Mishmarish to make sure you don't come do something wrong. And those are called gzeros. And sometimes, even among Chazal, there was a gzera. For example, you'll find that some Chachmei Chazal said we should ask for this because of Gzeira, forbid it, and some say no. And we find this many times in Shas. And this causes the Machlokas. And it gives an example. What's the classic example? We know that according to most opinions in Chazal, almost all opinions, Basar Of B'Cholav, eating milk, cooking meat with milk is Asur. However, chicken is really Mutter Midiraisa. And according to many opinions, the Chachamim asked us to eat chicken or to cook chicken, even, and to eat chicken that was cooked with milk. Why? Because we're afraid if we come to eat chicken that was cooked with milk, we might come to eat meat that was cooked with milk. And this is the gzera that was accepted. And b'chol tfutzos Yisrael, we don't eat chicken together with milk. However, he says that there were Chachamim who did not accept this gzeira. And what examples of Yosef Lili and his town, they ate chicken with milk. So we see when it comes to gzeiras, there was a machlokas amongst Chazal, that's the specific gzeiras. And he says, so the question is, kim mevata l'gzeira? Okay, he says that any time the gzeira spread amongst all of Klal Yisrael, this is a very important point, k'chol zman shepashat yisura v'yisrael ein derech levatel osa gzeira. So if the gzeira was accepted by all Jews, we can't mevatel the gzeira. And even in Nevi'im, even Eliyahu HaNavi cannot be matir, something that was accepted by all of Klal Yisrael. And I think part of the reason why we can't be gozer gzeiras today, it might be because we have a limited scope of knowledge also, but part of the reason is because we don't have an ability for any gzeira that we make that it should be spread amongst all of Klal Yisrael. So in other words, even if, for example, seven or eight groups of Batei Din or Yeshivot making gzeira, it's not going to accept them by all of Klal Yisrael. So something which is one situation where you can't accept all of Klal Yisrael, we can't make new gzeira. So for that reason, we can't have new gzeira. Okay. So is it true that we have had no gzeira since the Chasimus HaTalmud? So again, if you look at source number three, the Rush mentions an interesting thing. Do we know that in a Tainus Tzibur we say Anenu in davening? We say it at Mincha. The Chazan says it in Shacharis of the Zohar Shashatz. So, what really, according to Gemara, we should say it at Shacharis also. But why don't we say it at Shacharis too? So I take it back. So one of the reasons we don't say it at Shacharis, and so one reason we don't say it at Shacharis, personally, so Rashi mentions the Shita Sagaonim, we don't say it at Shacharis because what happens if I go ahead And I say Aneinu in the morning, the Yom Tzom Tani Seinu, the day I fast, and I break my fast afterwards. So because of that, they made a gzeirah that we shouldn't go ahead and say Aneinu in the morning, only after Mincha. So then already, by Mincha time, then already, most of the day already passed. It's already over Chatzos Hayom. So we're not worried if someone should break their fast. So the Rosh says, so why is it the Chazan says that at Shachris? Umashi Regilim Shashliach Tzibur Omer Shachris. The reason why the Shliach Tzibur says in the morning, because we're not worried that we know there must be some people in Minyan who will be fasting. And then he says, he adds, Valmashi Choshashu Aga'onim Shema Yimshach Milaso Devrayim Tumuim. Because then, what does that mean? So he goes on then and he says that because it's halacha that person decided. Well, that's what the first halacha he says. How can the gaonim be mechader shgzera after Avashi was sealed the Talmud? We don't make gzeros, but it could be that they suggested this and it was accepted of all of Klal Yisrael. So once some accepted all of Klal Yisrael, at that point it's very difficult. Actively to stop that gzera. But that's the reason why we can't make gzeras today. One of the reasons is because a gzera has to be accepted by all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, so however, that being said, there definitely is room for a person to go ahead and make a personal gzera. What does that mean? Let's say, for example, a person knows that he is someone who is prone to a certain avera. There's something that he might do that's wrong. And therefore, because he's prone to a certain Avera, he wants to make a Gzeira on himself to stop himself from doing Avera. Because that's actually what Yirah Shamayim is, that you're afraid you might not be doing an Avera. So for that reason, there definitely is a room to go ahead and to make a personal Gzeira. For that reason, actually, Rav Yashiv, who held also, Rav Yashiv Zatzal, who held that we can't make Gzeiras today, so he said, in regard to that watch many years ago, you can't wear a watch that has a light on it because it's automatic that people throughout the day, even if you can see, especially in those days, you're going to go ahead and press the button to see the time. So since something's automatic, a person is very careful. And in order to make sure that doesn't happen by mistake, we shouldn't wear a watch. What's his raya? So he brings a number of rayas. So let's look at source number 4. It's Gemara Masechah Shabbos. So we know in the old days, we didn't have the modern washroom. People would go to the washroom or leave themselves outside. So Amar Rav Huna, source number 4, Masechah Shabbos, Tapeyam Aleph of Abeis. Amar Rav Huna, Asr Lefanos, Besadan Yerba Shabbos. A person cannot relieve himself in a plowed field on Shabbat. My time, what's the reason? Ilem Mishum Dafsha, that you're afraid you might actually ruin what was plowed because you're going to someone else's field. So it shouldn't make a difference whether it's Shabbat or Chol. Even during the week, you shouldn't go into someone else's field to relieve yourself. You might ruin the field. You might ruin what they plowed. A field of Chol Nami. Velem Mishum Asavim. But you're telling me that it's usher because you might come ahead and you might pull off some grass, which might be usher because of Kotzer. So when you're leaving yourself, so the bottom line is that we're not worried about that happening. That you might without kavana rip off some grass because I'm Rosh Lakish, Shrosh Olubah Savin. In the old days, when they after they're leaving themselves, they wipe themselves on certain types of pebbles. So if you have a rock or a pebble that a clump of dirt that has grass on it, Rosh Lakish says you're allowed to use it to wipe yourself on Shabbos. That's what they did in the olden days. Avi says, even though there's grass there, but you take the grass off this clump of dirt on Shabbos. So the question is, how can you go ahead and use this clump of dirt to wipe yourself? You might end up being over Isser Deraisa of taking off grass. Ella, she says, the reason is because since it's not your intention to take the grass off, it's a Dabar Shalom Mishraven, and so it's Mutter. Ella Dilma Nukat Ma'alav is something like a Tal. What afraid of is you might go ahead and take a rock. It's on a mound and put it in a place where there's a hole. And you might be chayim because by doing that, you flattened out the field. Either you went ahead and you made the field, there was a hole, and you made it flat, or you took off a rock from the mound and made the field flat. And that would be choresh. So you're chayim because of choresh. So the question is, like, where does that gzeira come from? So the Rav Yashiv assumed Where does the Gzeira come from? So he assumed that it wasn't necessarily a Gzeira that was made by Chazal, but it was a Gzeira that was something that could very easily happen. What do you mean very easily happen? It was because it was a Gzeira that a person without thinking would come to do that, would come to flatten out the field. So we see from this Gemara that if you would go ahead and do something subconsciously, because this is what you always do, which is what they did in the olden days, and they go to the washroom, they could very easily flatten out a field during the week. Therefore, it's usher on Shabbos. And obviously, it only applies to a plowed field, because at a regular field, you wouldn't be necessarily usher because of choresh, so for plowing. So therefore, we see that we're concerned you might do something subconsciously that is an automatic reaction. And because of that, it's usher to do one action that might bring another action. It's not because of Gzeira. It's something that any action that you know might bring another action is usher to do on Shabbos. And this halacha is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, source number 5, Shimon Shid Yud Beis Siftes, quoting the Gemara Daf Pei Aleph in the Beis, usher lifnos usada nir b'shabbat. Shema Yovel Ashviya Gumos, you can't go ahead and you can't plow in a, you can't leave yourself in a plowed field on Shabbos because we're afraid you might come to smooth it out. And they look at source number 6. The Magen Avraham says, why? Because it was explained, the Shema Yito, Sifkat and Test, Shema Chugyud Beis, Shema Yito, Tsror, Mimachim, Gavshushis, we're afraid you might take a rock, a mound of dirt, a clump of dirt from a mound, put into a hole, then he goes on, in the house it's mutter, because in the house it's not something, it's not an automatic thing that happens. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah is even more clear. So the Mishnah Berurah says, he says, if you look at the end of the first line of the second page, we're afraid. While you're leaving yourself, you'll take a clump of dirt. That would be usher. So he uses the word that we're afraid, Shema Yishkach, you might forget. In other words, it's not that we're afraid someone's going to do it. We're afraid that you're going to forget and you're going to take. So therefore it says, in other words, might be mutter, but here you might actually forget and do it consciously. So we see that there's a gzeir, that if it's very possible, I forget to do something wrong, it's also do the first activity, which might cause you to forget what's going to be what's going to go ahead which might be usher. So a person has to always think, if I do action A, will that cause me to do an action which is, you know, subconsciously without realizing, which is usher? So that being said, it's still, you have to think about every single action. If you look at source number 8, this is the Chashukei Chemed, written by Rav Zilberstein, Rav Liashiv's son-in-law, Rav Bnei Brak. And he quotes a sefer, Vayishma Moshe, that he asked Elul Yashuv, are you allowed to use a telephone as an alarm on Shabbos? Okay, you have a telephone by the bed, people do it, or even an alarm clock. Are you allowed to use it on Shabbos? And what's the issue? The issue is, well, maybe your automatic reaction will be is that once the alarm goes off, you're going to stick out your hand, you're going to shut the alarm. So maybe it should be usher. So he says, Ein l'asher shimesh v'telefon liyad v'shabbat kishon ma'orer, like alarm clock, because you might come to close it, because we don't know make zeros kashashos. He says, so what's the answer? The answer is that it seems, especially when it comes to certain alarms, that people don't necessarily shut it off right away, or they don't do it subconsciously, they think about it. But ain't a chanami, if something's going to go ahead and someone is going to think about it, it might not think about it, then it'll be us. Or if someone, whatever happens, he always shuts the alarm off, it would be a problem on Shabbos to do it. However, if he doesn't, then it wouldn't be a problem. It's only a problem if you know there's a very strong likelihood you can do something usher. And if you look at Yudalid, this is the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai wrote in Parshas Vayelech. He says an interesting concept, which I actually saw my father do. He says, you know, that the back in the olden days, especially when you used to have to go ahead and you have to bring water from the well to drink. So if you needed water in the middle of the night, you couldn't go to the well. So they'd always prepare water in the middle of the night in case you needed a drink. So he says, Yom Kippur, obviously you can't drink, but if you have kids in the house, the kids might need a drink. So the Ben Ish Chai says, Yizoher shelo yinich lo kippur kli shamayim. The Shtiyatz of Mitayu, you should not leave a kli, a pitcher of water near your bed. Because even though you need water to feed the kids, what you should put it far away, hide it somewhere in the house. Because we're afraid you might get up from your sleep thirsty, you might forget, and you might go ahead and drink in Yom Kippur. So he says, that's what he says. So we see we have to be careful. And I remember as a child, when I was still not fast Yom Kippur, I must have been 7, 8, 9, I forgot already. So my father was very machped to put away all the glasses and the cups in Yom Kippur. There would be nothing on the counter. And I remember he said to me, Chaimke, he called me Chaimke. He said, listen, he says, I put all the glasses, the cups away in the cabinet because I'm afraid so am I getting in the middle of the night. So he told me I might take a drink for getting it Yom Kippur. If you want a drink, you can take a glass out because you're allowed to drink. But I remember him being machmen as halacha because you have to be very careful not to subconsciously come to do an aver if something's possible. There are also other rayos that I would just mention very quickly. There's source number 9. The Gemara Maseches Erev discusses, if there is a Rishus HaRabin and next to an alleyway, a mavui, and you want to carry in the alleyway, you have to put something up to remind yourself not to carry from the alleyway, to Rishus HaRabin. One of the things you can put up is called a lechi, like a post. So let's say you want to put the post in the middle of the alleyway and not at the end of the alley near Rishus HaRabin. So the Gemara says that in source number 9, if you put the post up in the middle of the alleyway, you're allowed to carry up until the post. And you can't carry beyond the post. The Gemara says, what's the chiddush? Of course, it should be mutter till the post. The answer is you might think that a person might make a mistake and carry past the post. Why? So again, you could suggest the same idea that it's something which is very possible to happen because it's in the same alleyway. A person might walk past the post. So that really is another raya. And the Chazanish brings another raya from source number 10. But again, this really is what the idea that Rav Yosher brings down the Chazanish that you're really supposed to go ahead and you're supposed to be careful. Now, in source number 12, the Sefer Chassidim says, it's fascinating, Yesh Tova Shehi Mevi'a Ra'a. There's something good that could bring something evil. What does that mean? Kagon HaMishtaker B'Shabbos. Okay, so I guess someone who gets inebriated on Shabbos. So for some reason, the Sefer Chassidim felt it was good to get happy, to be a little bit drunk, a little tipsy. Why? Because he says, so it's Simcha Shabbos. But why is it bad? Because he says, because you might come to the Malacha because in a certain sense, you're actually drunk. So therefore, and he says, and therefore also he says, somebody who maybe when he gets drunk, and I'll go through this, he says, this is a Purim, he might talk inappropriately, he might hit people, he might do something wrong. The Sefer Chassidim said a person like that shouldn't drink. So in other words, what we see is that, even if you're doing a mutter action, you have to think, what is the action afterwards? What is the action afterwards that it might cause? What might it cause you to do? So I think that this is a very important yesod that we have. So what does that mean? So actually it means is that, yes, sometimes, sometimes, I think we can't go ahead and we can't make gzeros. However, there's no question if someone is part of a certain sibur and the people, the manhigim of that sibur are concerned that maybe something might cause people to do something wrong, then you're definitely allowed to go ahead and you're definitely allowed to go ahead and make those gzeros. And if you're not part of the tzibur, so you have to follow, what the manhiget tzibur for you say. And this I think is a very, very, if it's something real, someone understands you, I think it's very important. So sometimes when you go out and you see, an Eretz Yisrael, especially a kol kore, this is us or that's us, or first of all, we don't have to believe it. Second of all, it only applies to you if it's If it's part of your tzibur, I'm thinking of your tzibur are going ahead, but no one can go ahead and say for the whole tzibur of all of Klal Yisrael something becomes usur, and a person themselves has to go ahead and has to feel what do I have to do? So I'll give an example. Let's say, for example, a person comes into shul. Okay, a person has a phone, and he comes into shul, and you know he knows that when he's in shul, he actually might look at his phone, right? So everyone has to know what they're doing, but some people maybe turn their phone off. Alfie did. And obviously it's a good idea, but a person has to realize, what am I doing that's mutter that might cause me to do something which could cause a problem later on. That's the idea. And we see that actually in last week's parsha, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really did the same thing. In the Migdal Bavel, the Mefarshim discuss, what was it? What was it that the people who built the Migdal Bavel did wrong? And the Chazal said it was Avodah Zarah, the Ralbag. It says they did nothing wrong, nothing. What do they want to do? They want to live in the same area. He says, however, when the whole population lives in the same area, that causes a very big danger, because if there's a natural calamity, everyone will be wiped out. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to be concerned about the future, saw this was a problem. That's why it says, Yarad. Whatever Yerud Hashem wrote to the ear, Hashem went down. Why went down? Because he wanted to see the future. This action was okay, but what would it cause in the future? The same thing is, we ourselves have to look at our own actions and see, what is it going to go ahead and cause in the future? And the truth is that this is mentioned by Chazal and Pirkei Avos, and I'll finish off with this. So we know that the Anshei Das Agdola, which is something they did, they said, the Asus Yog La Torah, that a person has to go ahead and a person has to make a Siyag LaTorah. What does a Siyag LaTorah mean? So we interpret it to mean that Chazal are supposed to make Gzeiros, Isser Muksa. There are other Gzeiros that we make in order to make sure that we guard the Kedush of the Torah. And it's said, Havir Shemayim. However, the Avos Rav Nosson, I don't have it all here, but he says, Adam made a siyag. We'll come back to that in a second. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a siyag, Moshe made a siyag, the Nevi'im made a siyag, and even Eov made a siyag. What does that mean? That everyone has to recognize what is in it for them. In other words, what do they need to do? And a person has to recognize their weaknesses and how they have to be careful in certain areas to make sure that they don't come to do any averus. For example, the Shulchan Aruch, it says in two places, Tzarech Lizar Yofa Yofa. In two places, at least, the Shulchan Aruch, you got to be very, very careful about what you're doing. One is in Eben Ezer, I believe it's Simon Chafalek, where he speaks about the whole issue of Arayas, men and women. And then when it comes to Issa Ribis, and the Sma says, because very simply, that the two strongest desires that we have are when it comes to the opposite gender, when it comes to money. And therefore, a person has to be very, very careful what they do. And, you know, when it comes to money also, a person is very careful to make sure they're above board. And to make sure they don't do anything where they, God forbid, you know, maybe takes money and that doesn't belong to them. So everyone has to know where they are and to make the gzeros that they need, not it's something that has to last forever. Besides Din D'Orais, Din Rabbanon, everybody has to realize what do they need to make sure that they stay in the straight and narrow. Now, I just want to finish off. I mentioned Adam. So we know, what was the Gzeirah that Adam made? So Adam and Chava, they said you shouldn't touch the, Chava said you shouldn't touch the Eitz Hadas. So the question is, we know what happened. So according to Chazal, what happened was Chava said to the snake, to the Nachash, I'm not touch the Eitz Hadas. The Nachash says, ah. So the Nachash threw Chava onto the Eitz Hadas, says, you see, you touched, nothing happened. So because of that, well, that was one of the reasons that she actually ate from the fruit, because she saw that she thought that if she touches the Eitz Hadas, something's going to go ahead and something bad's going to happen. They saw nothing bad happened. So even though Avos Rav Nosson says that we should imitate Adam, Adam himself made a mistake. So the question is, how can we imitate Adam? So if you look at source number 13, he says, so what does it mean? V'asu siyag l'Torah. You should make a siyag for the Torah. Why should you go ahead and make it? Why should you go ahead and make a siyag? why should you go ahead and make a siyag for the Torah? The reason why you should go and make a siyag for the Torah is because a lo doma, give me a second. Lo doma, we can't compare what a kerem that has a fence. Kerem does not have a fence. The kerem has a fence. Lo doma kerem shumukav geder. The kerem shenu mukav geder. Sho yasa adam geder. But however, be very careful. He says lo yasa adam geder yosem in the ikker. The yipo hageder v'yikatzes in the tios. When you're making a fence, make sure the fence is not higher than what you planted, because the fence falls, what you planted will break also. Shekach metzinu she'asa adam rishon geder yosem in the ikker. And the gather fell, and we're still dealing with this today, trying to get back to Gan Eden, to the Eitz HaChayim, because of that. So what does that mean? I think what it means is, number one, when we make our own personal series that we need, number one, to know it's what we need. Number two, it's a gather. And just to be careful, but we have to remember what the Iker is, but not just the Iker, but we have to remember also, you know, what we have to do and what's necessary to do. I would just mention that, you know, now we're in the year of Shemitah. Okay, without getting into what a person should do in Shemitah, I personally use Otzer Beis Din. I don't want to use Hetter Mechira. I don't want to use Erev Produce. I use Otzer Beis Din. So someone said to me, but you might make a mistake. So the answer is, okay, I hope they won't make a mistake. In other words, I'm trying to be careful. But it's very important to realize that when you make a geder, all right, the geder is not stronger or higher than the tree. So let's say, for example, the whole point why some people don't want to eat Otzer Beis Din, which is fine, is because they're afraid they might do something wrong. But I'm trying to keep Shemitah in the most Mahajan way in the Kayim Mitzvah, so I want to eat Otzer Beis Din Shlusha Shvias. The point is that everybody, I think, has to, he says, I think the point is that everybody has to go ahead and has to, I would say, understand who they are and where they are. So, of course, we got to keep all the Andiraisa. Of course, we got to keep all the Andirabbanan. And we have to keep Minhagim that were accepted by all of Klal Yisrael. But after that, it's very important, every person to understand who they are and what they are and look at their actions, say, well, if I do this, is it likely that I might do something wrong, and then put the shmira on to make sure I'm doing anything wrong, because obviously we don't want to do anything wrong. And I think that this is a very important lesson as we head into the very special months of the mid-year. And you know, we don't have the Yom Tovim around us, so we baruch that we have left our mitzvos and serving Hashem. And I'll just finish off by saying that, you know, we just finished the Parshas of Bereishis and Noach. And our goal is to get back to Gan Eden, as I said, to Eitz HaChayim. How do we get back to the Eitz HaChayim? So we have another Eitz HaChayim. That's the Torah. So therefore, by keeping Torah and mitzvot, that's how we get back to Eitz HaChayim. And therefore, we should be careful. We should be careful when we go ahead and we do anything. Not to be nervous about it. But if we see there's certain things we do that might cause us to do something wrong, subconsciously or a good chance it will call us, try to be wary and to do it in a way, or be on guard that we shouldn't go out and do something wrong. And we should all be zocha to do the right thing and full of Yirah Shamayim and follow in the ways of Avraham Avinu. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu said them, Atei Dati, Kirlikim Ata, everyone should have a very happy and healthy winter, and we should be zocha to Baruch Hashem, Mirtz Hashem, a healthy winter. Thank you all for joining in. Thank you all for joining in.